Morning, everyone. Let's begin our Bible study this morning in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, if you would, please. And while you're turning there, allow me just to make this statement. Gathering together for worship and fellowship is one of God's ways of strengthening His chosen saints. You see, not only do we see our own weaknesses in ourselves, but it's good to see it in others. I don't mean I want to hear every one of your weaknesses. That's not what I'm talking about. But as I was sharing with Brother Mike before study this morning, the Lord humbled me. I fell weak to the flesh over the week while I was away. I've had several come to me at times and share their weaknesses with me, and I see that not only am I just a weak creature, not only am I unable to do things of my own, just as Daryl said there, the Lord does things in all of His children. And it turns us away from that weakness of ourselves, and we look to Christ. And when I share that with you, it gives you strength to do the same, does it not? When you come to us, when we come together on fellowship Sundays, and oh, I pray the Lord will increase that fellowship. It is so wonderful to hear the testimonies of my brothers and sisters as they go through not having enough money for a medication, and the Lord providing that medication for this person in one way or another, or the Lord providing the monies to pay for the make to help you through the house payments, as you brought before us there, Daryl. Those kind of things I can relate to. I understand that. And it helps me to look to my Lord when I see others doing the same. It helps us to learn how to turn to our Lord and Savior by sharing our own testimonies, by sharing our own experiences. Are you with me in Hebrews? Let's read verse 21 through 25 of chapter 10. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Boy, we sure see the day approaching, don't we? Yeah. I don't know if the Lord's going to come today, tomorrow, or 2,000 years from now. But I can see that day approaching. Every day I get a day older, I get closer to being with my Lord. Oh, take me to this afternoon. Take this world out of my... Take me out of here. The day approaching could be for any one of us in just a moment. Mark your spots here in Hebrew, if you would, because we're going to come back to this at the end of our lesson, and then turn over, if you would, to our text in Ruth. We've been studying the book of Ruth. I don't apologize for taking it so slow. It's been a real rewarding blessing for me to do these studies. So more rewarding than I can give to you in words standing here. And in our last study, we looked at the spreading of the gospel. You don't need to turn there, but we referred to Mark 16:15, where it says, "And he," speaking of our Lord Jesus, "said unto them," his disciples, his servants, his chosen preachers, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We saw that the Lord is the one who commands his servants to give the food from heaven freely. Freely. We don't close the doors to anybody. God brings who he wants through these doors. I told that to William this morning. It's the Lord who brings people through these doors. And we freely give his food to whoever he brings to hear this. It may be that they will hear the word of God and it will bless them, as it does us. It may be that they will hear the word of God and they will say, "I will not have that one you speak of rule over me." And every one of us know, because we were all in that same boat at one time, saying those exact same words, that it's up to the Spirit, it's up to God to apply it to the hearts of whichever way he wants. It's a two-edged sword. It either saves or it condemns. So we give it freely. And we don't just give it during the worship service in an hour from now. We give it in the devotional. We give it in the Bible study. The free sovereign grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth as a man, went to the cross and hung on that cross for the sins of every one of his people and his people alone. Contrary to most Christian churches, God did not go to the cross for everybody. If he went to the cross for everybody and one person went to hell, then he wouldn't be God at all, would he? No, the God of Scriptures did it perfectly. And this is assurance for each and every one of us, is it not?
Yes.
I can't imagine worshiping a God who can't do what he says he's going to do. It makes no sense to me. If it wasn't for God's word telling us that there is a strong delusion sent to those who don't love the Lord, I don't know how I could deal with that. But I know that it's God's will. He says so in his word, doesn't he? So we not only give the gospel freely, we give it abundantly. And nothing but the gospel. Not here to talk to you about all the good works that this church might do. There are many who do that. Many. I know one who speaks of her church all the time, and all I ever hear is about how well they feed the poor. And that's a great thing. I appreciate that. I'm thankful for that. Are you not?
Yes. Sure.
But that's not the gospel. No. Feeding the poor, taking care of the homeless, doing all these wonderful things for our degenerate people, that's awesome, great stuff, but it's not the gospel. That's not what saves his people. Christ is what saves his people. God in the flesh is what saves his people. Our sins taken into the grave by he who had no sin and was made to be sin for us. That's what gives me assurance. I just spent an entire week away from the gospel completely. For a brief moment, the Lord allowed me to speak about it with one of my friends that I golfed with. But for that moment, other than that, I wasn't around the gospel at all. I need to hear the gospel preached. I need to hear about my Savior. And as I hear it, my cup overflows. It overflows with abundance from the mercies of God. Yeah, let me share a little bit. On the trip, we had perfect weather. Even the slight drizzle that we had on Thursday was just perfect. We didn't have any accidents. The Lord blessed us with safety all the way up there. And there's some pretty crazy people driving around out there. My cup overflows with the mercies of God. But that's not what overflows it. What overflows it is my Lord. The mercies that He came and died for me. A sinner, condemned unclean, He washed me white as snow. That's what my cup overflows with. Verse 16 of chapter 2. Ruth. Chapter 2, verse 16. And let fall some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. Come. Come into the house of God. Come to where the bread of life is. And here, fill your bellies. Fill your bellies with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us speak of Him and Him alone. Handfuls of purpose. Our Creator purposed His Son to come to this earth and to be born of a virgin, of the seed of the Spirit, full of truth and grace. That we who were given to Him would be saved. He shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people. When we gather in this with the saints, this is our joy, to share with each other and speak of the things of Christ, to speak of His blessings, to speak of His works. I was sharing with Mike this morning the brief moment where I got to speak about the gospel with this friend of mine. There's three men that I go and play golf with, and two of them don't care anything about the gospel. They're great guys. They're nice guys. They're very good people, but they don't have anything. They won't have anything to do with the gospel. My other friend, he's inquisitive. The Lord has laid it upon his heart to ask questions. Oh, what a blessing it was. You know how it is. Mike, you know how it is. Didn't you light up when that young lady from England started emailing you and asking you questions? Let me tell you about this Jesus. Let me tell you about the Jesus that I see in Scripture. The one who controls everything. He works everything out according to His will. You don't have any free will. You're bound by your nature, and your nature is sin. It's God's will if you are saved. Let me tell you about this great one who came to me when my will was bent and going the wrong way, as all mankind is, and tell you about the one who took His will and put it in my heart. Oh, doesn't it bring you joy to your heart to talk about the Lord when He opens the door for you? That young lady that goes to work with you. I understand why you would be so anxious. Yeah, let me just tell you a little bit about this guy. It brings joy. Brings joy to our hearts. Actually, that was probably the best part of my whole week. My golf game was not any part of my whole week. A part of the best part. But talking to him, he was one of those people who believe God loves everybody. So I broke out my phone, pulled the Bible up, and I showed him. And he looked right at it and he goes, "Wow, I've never heard that before. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated." Took him to Malachi, chapter 1, verse 2. And the Lord laid waste his mountains. And I said, "Now, is that what you hear from the other churches that you've ever been to?" "No. That's because they're teaching a lie." Our Creator purposed. No, I'm sorry. When we gather with the saints, this is our joy. To share and to speak of the things of Christ, His blessings, and His works. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't enjoy speaking of other things. Like I said, I've got two other friends that are great guys, and I enjoy playing golf with them. But the real joy was speaking of the gospel with the one who was willing to listen. The one who God made to listen. You see, the joy of our soul is to hear the good news. We love to hear how he came to save sinners, because we're sinners ourselves. And each and every one of us see that, don't we? We love to hear how his saving grace is a perfect salvation. It's not like the world teaches. It's not like what we hear from other religions. It's a perfect. It's a salvation from God. Can it be anything else? We love to hear how it is finished. It's all done. It's all been taken care of 2,000 years ago. John Reeves doesn't have to stop. I mean, I want to. Don't get me wrong. I want to. But when I don't, it's not going to take one thing away from my salvation. And when I do stop doing whatever it is you want to say, it's not going to add anything to my salvation. Because my Lord has done it all. You either have a Lord who's done it all, or you don't have a Lord at all. We love to hear how it is finished perfectly and completely. We love to hear how he is sitting on his throne right now making intercession for his people. What did it say back there? We'll go back there in a moment. You don't need to turn back yet. But let me just read that. And having a high priest over the house of God. What was the purpose of the high priest? The purpose of the high priest was to go into the holiest of holies and take the sins of his people and lay it on the mercy seat. Lay the sacrifice, the blood of the lamb, the spotless lamb, the perfect lamb. That's what our Lord Jesus is right now. In the holiest of holies, saying, "You are his. I am his." No matter what John does. Oh Lord, help me not to do those things I don't want to do. I turned to my friend Gary, and I told him, I said, "You know, you go to these churches today, and everybody's, 'Oh, I don't smoke anymore. Oh, I don't do this anymore. I'm such a different person.' I don't know about you folks, but I can't look at my flesh too long because I hate it. I told him, I said, "I'm not holier than thou. I'm not like those people in the church who say I don't do anything anymore. All I got to do is think something and I've done it." I need you folks to help me. God has put people, he's put saved sinners together with saved sinners. He calls them the church to uphold each other. When you fall, go to somebody who knows the Lord. Ask for help from the Lord. Lord, give us strength. Help us to turn away from the things that we do and look to our Lord Jesus and what he has done. That's the whole purpose of Bible study, isn't it? So that we can look to the Lord Jesus and what he has done for us. The joy of our soul is to hear the good news. I love to tell you how he has blessed me. And though I am a sinner, deserving his wrath, he has blessed me with heavenly blessings, with all heavenly blessings, in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what Ruth did. She went to her mother-in-law. Join me in verse 18, will you? And she took it up, the ephah of barley, the one that she had gleaned in the field until evening and beat out that she had gleaned it. She took it up and went into the city with her mother-in-law and her mother-in-law and saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she had sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I am wrought today is Boaz. The one who is God in the flesh has been merciful to usward. He has been merciful to me. His love for all of his chosen has been from everlasting to everlasting. The names of all of those that the Father gave him are inscribed, are carved into his hands. Verse 20. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Now I'm going to hold back on saying anything about verse 20 because I would like to look at that in a great depth starting next week. So next week we'll come back to that. Let's continue on with verse 21. And Ruth the Moabitess said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with the maidens, that they meet thee not in another field. It is good that we don't go and pretend to worship in another church down the street, that we know the gospel is not preached in, that we know the gospel is not heard, that God's people don't go to. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now let's go back to Hebrew, shall we? And let's consider our message, the fruit of our gleaning, the blessings of what our Lord and Savior has said unto us this day. He said, keep fast by my young men till the harvest is ended. Keep fast. Stay close. Don't wander off too long. I wandered off for a week. I'm glad to be back here in the gospel again so soon. It's good to hear the word. And that's exactly what our Lord is saying. Keep fast. Come to where the gospel is preached as often as possible. When someone who says they love the Lord, yet leave the Lord and go off where the gospel is not preached, I think it talks about the flower that withers and dies. Now we know that none of God's people, none of his chosen will ever wither and die. But we'll get very, very hungry at times. And we'll get very, very thirsty at times, won't we? I've only gone for 2 weeks. I missed last Sunday, so I'd be 2 full weeks. No, it's Friday night. Friday night Bible study. Did we have Friday night Bible study last week? No? But either way, you understand what I'm saying. I'm awful thirsty this morning. Can't wait to hear your message. Looking forward to that. Keep fast by my young men till the harvest is ended. Back in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 21 again. And having an high priest over the house of God. Our Lord Jesus is our high priest standing there, sitting there on his throne, working all things out according to his counsel. Could anything go wrong for his people? Could anything go wrong for you and I? We may think so at times. We may feel like things have gone pretty bad for us, huh? Every one of us here today have been in a position where we thought, oh my Lord, where art thou? Some of us have been in a lot worse situations than others. Oh my Lord, where art thou? I'm right here, John. I'm sitting on my throne. Don't worry about that. It's be okay. Eventually, I'll take you out of that, and it'll be just fine. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. Do you have full assurance of faith?
Yes.
Oh, how wonderful it is to believe the truths that we see in Scriptures. And that's what faith is, isn't it? To believe God's Word. Whosoever believeth on me shall have everlasting life. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Oh, the pure water of the Word of God. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let us hold fast to the very fact that the God of Scriptures is God. Let us hold very fast to the fact that the Lord of Scriptures, the God of Scriptures, has saved His people perfectly. Let us hold fast to the fact that the Lord of Scriptures, the God of all creation, has opened our eyes to the truth, as He said in His Word. For He who has inspired every word in this book, so much so that you could call it His own word, He is faithful that has promised. If God the Father promised a people to His Son, is there a people to His Son? Absolutely. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. How can I do that? Let me think for just a moment. There's nothing I can say. There's nothing I can say that will stop you from sinning. There's absolutely nothing, Garrett, that I can say that'll keep you, that'll keep your flesh from sinning. But what I can say is when you do, turn away from it as fast as possible and look to your Lord. How can I provoke you unto good works? Look away from yourself and tell me this as often as you can. Tell me this also. I need to hear it too. Turn away and look to Christ. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more the more as you see the day approaching. I don't know about you folks. I don't know your hearts. But I'm so thankful. My heart is so blessed to be here with you today, Dawn. Yes. To be here with all of you. What a blessing it is to talk about my Lord Jesus with those who know who He is. To share with you my weaknesses. That all of us, right, Rush? Might look to our Lord. Stand with me if you would.